Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
Here we go at the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman.
I've recovered from the cough.
You have coughed?
I'm good now.
Where's Tony tonight, by the way?
That's a good question.
Football, he's coaching football tonight. It's Thursday night high school.
Tonight high school football.
Of the Florida, Georgia, everybody's moved up tonight.
I hope that they have a little success.
We'll see.
That the week before they did not have success there at Episcopal versus the Providence High School.
Not so good.
I know Tony was not in a very good mood for that.
It was quite a weekend for him because...
It was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. That was
Last week they won, and the reason they won is because Baselli was in London.
That's exactly it, actually. I think you got your finger on it. Plenty to get to tonight. Jaguars on the bye week, of course. We'll go through some areas to improve during the bye. Look at the Jags' offense, defense, certainly the special teams. That's something to look at during this off week. Jags are back at it next week against the New York Jets. I got to say, though, first, it was a little weird being interviewed. I'm rarely interviewed.
No, but it was good, though, because, I mean, you know what? Of all the people that were over there, staff-wise, player-wise, coaches-wise, I mean, you were at more events probably than anybody and were able to mingle amongst the town folk and get a kind of feel for the pulse of what it was like.
Where are you from, the town folk?
The Londoners.
Okay.
Well, it's because
when
you say Londoners, you really can't even say that. Yeah. I mean, the town folk is what it is because it's people that come from all over to the town to hang out for a football game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
It was cool.
It was incredible in that so many different people from so many countries, and you don't even think about it. Just think about, okay, let's say the game was played in Memphis, okay? The hub, like, for FedEx, okay?
Okay, great.
So the flight...
Liberty Bowl, Memphis, here we come.
You know, let's say the game's the Liberty Bowl. The flight from Germany or all these other European countries is like from flying somewhere in the United States to Memphis. It's not that far.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
You know, so it's a big deal. I mean, all these people come there to experience the NFL. It draws them in from everywhere. And what a marvelous event that the NFL puts on. And Wembley is a great host site for it because it has the size. It has the area to be able to have the events outside the stadium. And the stadium itself, I thought that, first off, let me say this. The thing that impressed me the most prior to the game was the performance by the Ohio State Marching Band.
Unbelievable. Have you ever seen it? Have you seen it online?
I have never seen them live.
Have you seen it online, the tape of it?
I have not.
Oh, yeah. You got to watch the whole show.
It's
fantastic.
They performed outside the stadium, which, you know, when you're outside the stadium, you can't really – they're not doing the formations, et cetera. And I know that the Ohio State Marching Band has been under a little bit of scrutiny over the last couple of years. But the job that they did pregame and at halftime was simply fantastic.
Yep. The pregame show was a tribute to the British invasion, and they had hits from the 60s and all that. So a really good show. Check it out. It's on YouTube somewhere. But, yeah, quite a weekend in London. So the Jaguars won that game. Yes, they did. 34-31, wild finish at Wembley for the first win in London for the Jags. And then move into the bye week now, 2-5. Two road games coming up, Jets, Ravens, and back home for a Thursday night against the Titans. This is always the week, Logs, to, you know, take a look at yourself. Look at the mirror. What can you do better? What can you do better certain parts of the team? Special teams has really popped up as a big key this week. They've had some issues with guys coming on the field late, this or that. The punting situation has not been consistent. Certainly the kicking situation has not. They brought a couple kickers in this week to try them out. Didn't sign either one of them. So where do you start on special teams here, Lux?
Well, I think you have to start with everything. I mean, you can't start with one thing in particular. I mean, let's start with Jason Meyer.
Okay.
Okay, he's got, what, 3 missed extra points?
That's correct.
Okay, 3 missed extra points. He is 4 of 4 from 20 to 29 yards, 2 of 2 from 30 to 39.
Okay.
1 of 3 from 40 to 49, and 1 of 2 from 50-plus. Okay, so he has 3 missed field goals, 3 missed extra points.
But the three missed field goals are all long ones.
Yes.
Long distance.
Yeah, 40 plus.
Yes.
Okay. The opponent's field goal kickers has, the opponents have, make sure I get this correct. They have two misses from 40 to 49, but they're 9 of 11. They're perfect from inside of 39 yards, and they're 1 of 2 from beyond 50. So you're a net loss right there in the field goal game. If you look at the punting game, Brian Anger's net average, I ignore gross average because gross average doesn't tell you anything. The net is what it's all about. His net average is 37.8, and the opponent's 38.7. You're a net loss there. Not much. But if you look at the punt returns, the Jaguars, of course, were expecting Rashad Greene, who's on the injured reserve designated to return, to be the primary guy. And they have kind of shuffled different guys in and out. Brian Walters, Nick Marshall. They're averaging 6.6 yards a punt return. The opponents are averaging 14.4.
That ain't going to work.
That's a net loss.
Yeah.
So once again, so punting, just overall net average, you're a net loss. But the punt return numbers make it a big net loss in the punting game. So you're a net loss in the field goal kicking game. Now you're at a net loss at the punting game. The kick returns are about a wash. They're about even. The touchbacks are about equal for Jason Myers, who does a very good job on kickoffs. He's got a very strong leg, but then he had the one that he kicked out of bounds that gave the ball for the opponents on the 40-yard line at a critical juncture of a ball game. The opponents haven't had that, so it would be a minor net loss right there. You know, the special teams has to be an area on a young team that you expect it to not deter you from winning and certainly to aid you in winning in a couple games.
Is it a coverage fix? Let's start with the punting situation. Is it the punter punting him higher? Is it a coverage situation? Is it a combination of both? Where do you start?
I think it's a combination, but I think you start with the punter because he's the one that's going to give your coverage team to be at its best. And I've said this many times in that Brian Anger, I think, needs to do a better job of having – better kicks at critical moments. When you're backed up, that's when you need to put the ball and make the returner back up and kick it away from to where he can't handle it. But if you're going to kick it like that, you've got to be able to have successful gunners, which are the guys on the outside, which are the only ones that are allowed to free release at the snap of the ball. They're not effective there. In fact, it's been a negative there because of there was two instances of penalties to where the gunners went out of bounds and then stayed out of bounds and didn't come back when they needed to, drawing a penalty.
I believe both times it was Nick Marshall, come to think of it.
Well, I don't care
who it
is.
I know last time it was.
You know, here's the thing.
Can't have it.
If you're going to have that happen and it becomes the same person, then that person needs to be replaced with somebody that can be expected to be reliable. But the gunners are not aiding the punt game whatsoever. I think that Brian Anger can be better. I think the gunners can be better. And the punt coverage group needs to be better. And in particular, the wings have not been very good. Bernard Pierce had the one embarrassing play against Tampa Bay that he was blocking when he should have been covering. Mm-hmm. You had Toby Gerhart over the last couple games. I don't see a high level of energy out of him on punt coverage. I don't see a lot of running full speed down the field. I think that needs to be looked at. I think that if you can't do it, then – you find somebody else that can do better, quite simply.
Oh, you can't. Where do you find them?
Well,
you go on the street? What do you do?
Well, here's the thing. You can either find somebody on the roster that can do it, or if you have to have, because, you know, if you're not a starter, your role has to be as a role player on offense or defense, and then you have to have a primary role on special teams. So Toby had expected, or we expected him to have a role as a rotational back, short yardage back, goal line back, in which he looked very good in the preseason. That hasn't been the case in the regular season. As you know, perfect example is the first and goal at the 1.5 against the Buffalo Bills, where he missed the hole two different times and did not run with a lot of power on the other two. So my thing there is that if he does not have a role on offense that you know that he can fill, and he's not providing a boost to special teams, which is a requirement when you're a role player on offense or defense, then you have to find somebody that can fill it, plain and simple. So you look elsewhere to find that. That means bringing a guy up off the practice squad. I know that they brought up last week Joe Banyard, a third-year player from Texas El Paso. Maybe you have him fill that role. I mean, that's the reality.
Competition everywhere.
If you're not doing the job that is expected, then you find somebody else that will do it.
To the kicking situation. There were a couple of kickers reported in the building last week for tryouts. Didn't sign either one of them.
No.
So Jason Myers is still the man.
Well, I think what that is it's a – I don't think it's a message because I don't think they do anything to send messages because the messages are obvious. You don't need to send a message in the National Football League that, you know, you've got a short leash.
Hey, guess what? You missed three extra points. There's
That's
your message.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. And so I think what they have done is brought some guys in and that you do have patience with Jason Myers, but that patience will end at a point. And if that patience has to end, then you're prepared to know what to do in reaction to that. And so by bringing guys in, I think that gives them an idea of what's out there, what kind of shape these guys are in, how they look, and that if you do have to make the change, you're ready to do it and you're confident and you know somebody and you've seen somebody and you can have them ready to go.
Plenty to get to tonight on Jaguars Thursday. We'll talk about the Jags offense. There's a core forming on the offensive side of the ball. That's coming up a little later. Defensive side, keep blitzing. That was a theme last week, and it probably will be the rest of the way.
Maybe.
Since it was a maybe.
Maybe.
Ah,
we'll get into that.
Get to that. And we'll look at the injury report presented by Baptist Health System. Jags fans, get ready for the Bold Rush. Come see Thursday Night Football November 19th. The Jags will face the Tennessee Titans and Marcus Mariota. Maybe. Use your game ticket to gain entry to the huge Bold Rush tailgate. Visit Jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. How about a report card for Blake Bortles when we come back? It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman. Jaguars Thursday continues. Tony Baselli is coaching high school football tonight. The Jags have the bye week. So a little rest and relaxation for the Jaguars. The next few days, we'll be back at it on Monday here at Everbank Field. The world's largest outdoor cocktail party is coming up this Saturday here at Everbank. The stadium is primed and ready for this week. The Jaguars offensive core had a chance in the locker room this week on Tuesday that was open to the media. The players had Monday off, and then Tuesday open to media. There's a core forming on this offensive side of the ball. Blake Bortles playing well in spots. Allen Hurns with some big catches. Allen Robinson. All these guys are growing together. T.J. Yeldon had a huge game in London. But Allen Hurns talked about what this core can be moving forward.
You can see we're going to be special, and we just got to continue to grow. But to see all of us in year one and year two, it's impressive. You know, you can see the growth from all of us. If it's Allen Robinson, he's really come on this year, and you can see him taking the next step. And you said the same thing with Blake. He's really taking control of his offense. And TJ, he's done a tremendous job as far as just running the ball, making guys miss. And, you know, as long as all of us out there on the field, we just continue to make plays, we're going to be very special.
That's Allen Hurns earlier this week. And this is the whole idea of this thing, right? You draft, you bring guys in at the same time, they develop together. And, you know, hey, you're starting to see signs of life on this offense.
Well, certainly with those two young wide receivers. I mean, Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns have combined for 65 catches, 1,099 yards, and 11 touchdowns in seven games.
That's awesome.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
now. You know, in second-year players, and one of them's a second-round pick, the other one is undrafted. And I remember, you know, the draft and that everybody was excited about Marquise Lee. And I remember watching the film of Marquise Lee, and he definitely has some specialness to him. But I remember watching Allen Robinson and saying I thought that Allen Robinson would be the better player. And it wasn't because of the physical traits, because I think that Marquise Lee has some dominant physical traits. But I thought that the consistency that Allen Robinson showed at Penn State in an offense that primarily was not a throwing offense for many years, I thought was incredibly impressive. And a lot of people say, well, how does that happen? Some individuals, and I've seen this in the National Football League since the time I got there, we used to have a ton of guys that would come in, and they clearly had the more talent than others. But at the NFL level, it is what is your work ethic, what is your commitment, and what is your health? I mean, those are three things that you have to have. I don't care how much talent you have. You got to get in the door with talent. But then after you get in the door, those three other things are the ones that determine what type of player that you're going to be. And right now, Marquise Lee has not been able to overcome the health issue.
That's right.
And I think this is a big week coming up for him. The one good thing that I will say about Marquise Lee is that he has showed in the past that it has not taken long for the chemistry to be able to develop between Blake Bortles and him. Once he typically has gotten on the field, he has had an impact. When he has been healthy.
Which hasn't been a lot.
Which hasn't
been
much.
Yes.
You know, so, you know, whereas you look at Julius Thomas, because he's a tight end that doesn't get great separation, and that's typical for a tight end, you have to have a level of chemistry and a level of trust between the quarterback and the tight end. And you can see that they have not had the time to develop that. And you can see that they're misfiring in a lot of opportunities. And I think they will get better the more time that they work together and the more trust that they have in each other, whereas Marquise Lee is a supreme talent. He gets great separation, and it becomes easy for the quarterback to target Marquise Lee when he is healthy and playing.
How impressive was the Allen Robinson touchdown in London this past week? Caught it with his hands out by the goal line.
Strong
reaching
hands.
Out. With the ball in both hands with a guy on him and scoring that touchdown.
What
it was pretty impressive.
What impressed me the most, because I thought that was something that you hadn't seen with Allen Robinson in the past.
That's right. Yeah.
A lot of times he would make the catch and be falling down. Now he's progressed to the point where he's so confident that he's going to make the catch, and now you're starting to see what happens after the catch. And that's, I think, is a big step for Allen Robinson, and that's kind of the natural progression with some athletes, in that they have to be able to gain the confidence to be able to fully display their athletic ability. And you're seeing that with Allen Robinson, the incredible hand strength where he didn't have to bring the ball back into his body, and then the awareness that, hey, look, I am right here at the goal line, and to be able to fight and to use your body to power across the goal line, I thought was a tremendous play for him, because last year when Allen Robinson would catch the ball, there wasn't a lot of yards after catch. Marquise Lee's kind of always had that. But Allen Robinson, now you're starting to see that with him.
And even last year with A-Rob, I think when he went down with the injury, he had 17 third-down receptions. He was a target on third down because he knew where to go to get just across the line, and he was a good route runner in that respect. But like you said, he would make the catch and then get tackled for
right.
first down.
Or be falling down while he would make the catch and didn't have to be falling
even
down.
Even early this year, he was diving for balls down the field.
When he should have ran through them.
Just run through the ball.
But see, that's where that confidence is really starting to show with Allen Robinson. And I love him. I think he is a really good guy. But if you go all the way back to the OTAs and to where he was held out, because remember he had foot surgery after the game that was played in London last year, and so he was held out of a lot of activities and then started to work his way back in kind of late in the offseason. The way that he works in practice and the way that he competes in practice, you just knew. You knew that he was going to make a big jump this year. I don't want to say you knew. You had an idea that if there was anybody that was going to make a jump, it would be him because of the way that he works.
Yeah, no doubt.
And you need to start to see that out of Marquise Lee. You've always seen that out of Allen Hurns. Allen Hurns, consistent, hardworking.
Tough,
doesn't have the ability of an Allen Robinson or a Marquise Lee, but it goes back to availability. Availability and chemistry and consistency, and he has all of those traits. And he deserves everything that he gets. Nobody's worked harder than Allen Hurns. Nobody has put in more practice minutes than Allen Hurns in the last 2 years.
And nobody deserves a bye week like Allen Hurns. He's been banged up. He's got a thigh thing. He's got a calf thing, an ankle. I mean, he is banged up now. So he'll be, if he's playing this well banged up, just wait until he's healthy.
23 consecutive games with a catch. Okay, 23 consecutive games with a catch for Allen Hurns. The Jaguars' record is held by Keenan McCardell, who had 94. Okay, and he has had one in every game that he's played. 23 games. And you look at his yards per catch on a guy that if you put him on the clock, he is not super fast compared to other wide receivers in the National Football League, but he's averaging 16.5 yards a catch. Love him.
Need more of those guys.
Well, you need more of those guys because they're free. You know what I'm talking about. He's an undrafted guy. Didn't cost you a draft pick. Great job by the scouting staff of identifying him. But you know what? If you asked him after they drafted him, they probably wouldn't have told you that they expected to see this. But they expected that he had a chance, and he was very consistent, dependable at the University of Miami. Very similar, I think, in a lot of ways to Rashad Greene, and that was consistent and dependable at Florida State. Now, you hope
the go-to guy.
You
right.
hope that Rashad Greene can develop like Allen Hurns. And then all of a sudden, if he does, and Marquise Lee is somehow able to find this health supplement that gets him healthy and consistent
legally,
then they've got a wide receiving group that's going to be very potent.
And it sounds like Green will be back for the Titans game. I think that's when he is eligible to be back. Blake Bortles, second year, second in the league in touchdown passes, by the way, 15 touchdowns this year. The horrible pick at the end of the game with 5 minutes to go. Pick six gave the Bills the lead.
That was bad, man.
Now, there was contact on the play down the field, but it was so bad they couldn't throw the flag. But then to bounce back, and we've seen this from Blake a lot in second quarter two-minute situations. You drive down the field, you get in position. He's done it a number of times to get the team in position to get a score before halftime. But this is the first time with this kind of adversity, after throwing a pick six to blow a 27-3 lead, just got him right back down the field and threw the game-winning touchdown. Blake Bortles, report card for Blake so far. What's he scoring right now?
I mean, if you looked at the touchdown interception ratio, the quarterback rating, then you would give him a very high grade. If you looked at the pick sixes, if you looked at the wins, then you probably wouldn't give him a very high grade. But, you know, there's very few quarterbacks that have 20 starts under their belt that has made the type of progress in those 20 starts that he has. And remember now, he came out early. You know, he's a young player. He's 23 years old. You know, could have stayed back, I think, at Central Florida for another year. Mm-hmm. Comes out early. Physically, he definitely was ready for the part. But I think the commitment that he showed in the offseason, where we talked about that at length, and a lot of people just – you know, kind of discounted that and said, yeah, so what? Well, you can see that hard work paying off. Some of the routine things are starting to look routine. But he's still got so much more room to grow. And I think that's the exciting thing about Blake Bortles. You know, his completion percentage is not incredibly high. He's only at 55.7%. If you want to be a big-time quarterback, you got to be over 60, and well over 60 in some cases. But the positives, you know, he's nearly 2-1 touchdown interception ratio. His rating points, I think, are what was his rating last year? Do you remember offhand?
Not great.
I want to say it was like
70.
No, I don't even think it was in the 70s.
60s? Yeah, it was not great.
Not the last time he was nearly 20 points improved. Now that he's like an 82-point rating, I think he is now about 20 points improved from his rating last year. That's incredible. I mean, and he's given this football team a chance week in and week out. You know, and we saw some of the signs of that last year, and the example that I always look back to is the game in Tennessee, to where he gave this team an opportunity to win that game on his shoulders by himself, and now it paid off. He was able to do that, and obviously he had to do that because he was the one that kind of put him in that predicament to begin with. Right. But it's positive, and I like the way he plays the game. I think he's Gus Bradley always talks about Blake Bortles, and I always ask him, what's the number one trait? And he said, the ability to play without fear. And the ability to play without fear is pretty special for a quarterback, because you've seen a lot of the lack of success eat up young quarterbacks.
69.5 rating last year for Blake, by the
way. So he is up, 13?
And he's at 15 touchdowns now, right?
15-8.
And the franchise record for touchdown passes in a season is 23.
Which is amazing.
And that was in 2010 by David Garrard. So really he's a few weeks away from breaking the franchise record for touchdown
passes.
It's
impressive now.
Different league these days, of course.
And wait until the Julius Thomas effect starts to really take hold, because we haven't seen that yet.
Have you seen a little bit, maybe?
You've seen glimpses.
Yeah.
But the consistency, you know, going back to that consistency thing, you know, 55.7% completion percentage. If those two can get on the same page, it's going to bring it over 60. You know, knowing exactly where Julius is going to be, which direction he's going to come out of a break, knowing and having confidence that he's got great range in catching the football, and knowing that I can still throw it to Julius because I know he's going to get it. He's going to win the battle with the defender. That's the traits that you saw out of Julius with Peyton Manning last year, and we will start to see that, I think, in a big way in the second half of the season.
Hey, we'll look forward to that, too. That would be nice to see, for sure. Plenty left on Jaguars Thursday, a little defense talk. Do they keep blitzing? They got some pressure on E.J. Manuel last week. Will it work against Ryan Fitzpatrick? The New York Jets coming up. And Flacco and all the rest. Mariota the week after that. Blitz, blitz, blitz. Or do you? That's all coming up. We'll look around the National Football League as well. Pick some games this week. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. Jaguars Thursday continues. J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Lagerman. Tony Baselli is coaching high school football tonight. He'll be back with us next week. Let's move to defense, Jeff. The blitz was the big thing last week in London. The Jaguars going to blitz more and get more pressure. Haven't been able to get pressure with the front four by themselves most of the season. They brought some pressure last week. It worked. They got a sack fumble. Aaron Colvin got home and knocked the ball out. Clemens scooped it and scored. Telvin Smith had an interception a little later. They got to Manuel a handful of times, got him on the ground. Is this going to continue, the blitzing? It's not really the regular focus of this defense.
If you're playing E.J. Manuel every week, it's going to continue like that.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, and E.J. Manuel without Percy Harvin, without Sammy Watkins, with two backup offensive linemen on the right side. That's why I think that the game plan had that percentage of blitzes. I think if you're playing, you know, the Green Bay Packers or you're playing the Cincinnati Bengals, you probably don't go to that high of a percentage because of the risk that you have at the back end by supplementing the pressure, you delinquent the coverage. So I think you have to be able to look at it from a week-to-week basis. And I think that this week or next week against the New York Jets, Ryan Fitzpatrick, a veteran guy, has a big-time receiver in Brandon Marshall, another solid receiver in Eric Decker, and some would say, you know, kind of maybe a little bit better than, you know, really good wide receiver in Eric Decker. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I think you're not going to blitz as much this coming week as you did against the Buffalo Bills. But I also like the fact that they're doing more, because the defensive foundation is based on the ability to have pressure with four men.
Yes.
You don't have the ability to consistently pressure with your four men. You don't have the talent to do that. That's the reality. I want to see more out of certain guys. I want to see...
Like who?
I want to see more out of Jared Odrey. I want to see him have a bigger impact in the games. Do you remember one play this past week that stood out in your mind that Jared Odrick made?
Well, no.
Okay.
But is that his role to be?
Well, here's the thing.
A playmaking type of guy.
Here's the thing. On first down and some second downs, when he is playing that four-eye defensive end, the opportunities are limited, okay, because you're not pinning your ears back and getting up the field.
You're the strong side end.
But that's not the only role that he fills now. I mean, he lines up as a three technique at times, and when he's in that defense as a four-eye, there are times that he has opportunities to be able to pin his ears back. He has to be more productive, and I think he's capable of more. A lot of times Jared gets stuck in this thing that he wants to kind of stay at the line of scrimmage, read the quarterback's eyes, and get his hands up. Yeah, that's fine and dandy if it's a reactionary thing, but it can't be the focus of your rush. It has to be, I'm going to go rush the passer, and when that arm starts to go forward, then I get my hands up. And that's not what you're seeing out of Jared. I think his focus needs to be a little bit different. You need to see more out of Chris Clemons. And I'm not mad at Chris Clemons or disappointed in Chris Clemons. I'm just hopeful he can give this team more. He's slowing down.
Is he 34 years old?
It happens.
I mean, the guy's in his 13th, 12th year.
Yeah. Would Chris Clemons have been on this team if you had your draft pick planned?
If Dante Fowler's around, is Clemons around?
Maybe not. Maybe not. Because you look at the defensive line right now. And the numbers that they have now. If you decided to keep, let's say you keep Chris Clemons with Dante Fowler, who would you cut? Chris Smith? Possibly. Ryan Davis? No, you're not going to cut Ryan Davis.
No.
Andre Branch, third year player from Clemson?
Maybe.
I don't think so.
No?
Not in his third year. You know, with the year that he had last year before he got hurt, he was starting to put together some nice things. Now, this year we haven't seen a lot of out of Andre Branch. I expect to see more out of him this year. He's another one that I would have put in that category. And look, the poor decision to hit E.J. Manuel in the face in that past game that you were off the field on third down and that moved the sticks for the Buffalo Bills. And all that is just being aware that you can't target, not necessarily target, but you can't contact the head and neck area of a quarterback after the ball is gone. Everybody knows that. The league changed that policy years ago. And he delivered a blow right to the face of E.J. Manuel. There was not even an awareness to stay away from the head and neck area.
Can't have that.
Can't have that.
No.
Can't have that. I want to see more reps out of Ryan Davis. I've been saying it all year. I'm talking first and second down. I'm not
talking against the run.
As a sub-3 technique pass rusher, that's not what I'm talking about. I want to see more of Ryan Davis on first and second down.
Then you got to find somebody to take over his role in special teams, which you got to do that.
Well, you know what? Andre Branch.
Go find somebody.
Go line up. Line up. Time for you to take some snaps on special teams. I don't see him taking snaps on special teams. Now, he's a role player on defense.
Is Ryan Davis stout enough against the run?
Absolutely stouter than Andre Branch. He's stouter than Chris Clemons. You know, doesn't have the experience of Chris Clemons, but he's Ryan Davis. Put it this way, JP. Do you think you would take Ryan Davis and put him down in a three technique and have him play inside where it gets really loud if he didn't have the strength to play on the edge? Hell yeah, he's got the strength.
All right.
I mean, and I've been beating that drum for 2 years now.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. And I'm not seeing it. I'm like, hello? You know?
I mean, you got the coaching here every Thursday night. Come on, Lyle.
Trust me, pass
a note or something.
I don't know. I've talked with him about it. You know, I've talked with Todd Wash. And I'm like, why don't we get this guy more snap? But, you know, they envision a role for him. You know, and I think sometimes, you know, when Gus was talking about in his show that sometimes it's, you know, it's nice to take a step back. You know, I think that this is one that they need to take a step back and maybe look at it from a different perspective.
Linebacker situation, Telvin Smith was named the AFC Defensive Player of the Week, by the way, after his interception, his first ever.
Should have had three.
Certainly two. Should have had three.
Well, he had
big
the one.
Game.
He dropped the other in the end zone that would have negated the field goal on the 99-yard drive, I think it was. And then he had another opportunity in that game. And E.J. Manuel stares down his targets like nobody else. If Telvin had just trusted if he had just trusted himself in the belief that I can believe the quarterback's eyes, he would have had another opportunity. You know, that's one thing that Troy Polamalu, Ed Reed, you know, some of the great interceptors that played at the safety position, Kurt Govea, one of the great pass defending linebackers that I ever saw that played for the Washington Redskins. He had a knack and an innate ability to trust what he thought he should do. In other words, he would have an instinct, but it was an instinct based on awareness and anticipation. And Kurt was one of the best at it. And if Telvin had trusted himself, which the more he plays and the longer he plays, the more of that will come. He would trust himself instead of being caught halfway. You know, and I'm not so sure. I better not quite commit. And I think that will come with Telvin. But the one thing about Telvin that I love is that he has an unbelievable gear at the linebacking position that nobody else in the league, I don't think, has. And the interception. You got E.J. Manuel and LeSean McCoy that have angles to make that tackle, and he's gone. Nobody can catch him. The game against the Texans, he had two tackles down the field that might have been touchdown-saving tackles. He had the same thing against Tampa Bay, to where he utilized his speed. I still wish that he was about 10 pounds heavier.
That'll come. Some point. That's the idea, maybe.
If it did, you know, then he would have weighed more than he did last year, and I think he's playing the same weight. You need to get him some of that gravy that you're tweeting out. Okay? What is that you're tweeting out about gravy, by the way?
Well, it's the bye week, so it was an off day, and it's gravy day.
It's gravy day.
At the Fox, yeah.
Okay, you need to take Telvin to go get some of that gravy.
I don't think that's the weight he needs to be putting on, Jeff.
No, trust me. He might have a 0.5% body fat. He can use a little gravy.
Okay. We'll get him in with the gravy coming up. It's time for the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. Left guard Zane Beatles sustained a strained right foot against the Bills. Shatley or Boenko are possibilities to play left guard if Beatles is unavailable next week.
I'm okay with that.
You are okay with that without the injury, too.
I'm okay with that, absolutely. I think it's time to look at some options at left guard. I think it's time for Tyler Shatley to be in there.
All right.
If A.J. Cann was a backup and you still had Brandon Linder, I think A.J. Cann would be your starting left guard already.
Tight end Julius Thomas left Sunday's game with discomfort in his groin. He'll be traded over the bye.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
Update next week. Clay Harbor. Continuing to undergo treatment during the bye on an abdominal strain. And I saw a report last night that he was on a flight yesterday that had made an emergency landing in Raleigh-Durham, smoke in the cockpit. Clay Harbor was on a flight last night, but everybody on the plane was okay.
Cheech and Chong flying that plane?
I don't know, but they had to make the emergency landing in Raleigh-Durham. All's well with Clay, it sounds like. Running back T.J. Yeldon played through the groin injury, but had the stomach flu over the weekend.
Which a lot of people didn't know.
Yeah, not really many people knew that, but played through it, had two IVs. He wasn't sure, he said, on Saturday night if he was going to play Sunday or not in London. Played through, of course, had the best game of his career so far. Wide receiver Rashad Green eligible to begin practicing Wednesday, and he could make the return against Tennessee that Thursday night game. James Sample and wide receiver Marquise Lee continue to rehabilitate. No timetable for Lee's return yet. So there you have it. The injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good.
Marquise Lee, if he's not ready to play, and I said this a while ago, I would already put him on IR. But if he's not ready to play this week, okay?
See you next year.
When I say this week, I'm talking next week against the New York Jets. It's time to put him on IR and to let him know that next year, there's something called availability that's required to be an NFL player. And not being critical of him because, I mean, some of these injuries that he's got, they're real. But next year, you have to prove yourself and you have to make this team. You have to make this team based on ability and availability. And that's the way it ought to be.
Kiss Game Day parking hassles goodbye with a JTA Stadium Shuttle. 5 convenient park and ride locations to choose from for Jags games. I'm sure they'll be in effect for the game Saturday, Florida-Georgia, here at EverBank. Tickets start at $7. For more information, visit jtafla.com. We'll look around the National Football League when we return. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Check out Jack Hanania's Volkswagen of Orange Park, home of the best warranty in North Florida. 20 years, 200,000 miles. This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli coaching high school football this evening. It's time to look around the National Football League. By the way, before we get to picking games, Jeff, Philip Rivers and his wife just had their eighth child today.
Man, I'm telling you now.
The oldest is 13 years old.
Man, you would think that he is going back in the early settlers days, and the more kids you had, the more farmhands you had.
That's right.
You know?
Got to get the crops in.
Wow.
That's unbelievable.
Congratulations to them.
Eighth child.
You can afford them.
He's 13. I guess you can. Let's go around the league. In London this week, the first time they'll play back-to-back weeks at Wembley Stadium. That's a big test to see how the pitch holds up there. A little slippery last week. We'll see how it holds up for the Lions and the Chiefs. Who you got in London?
You know what? I'm going to take
the Chiefs. The Lions fired a bunch of their offensive.
Yeah, well,
coaches.
They fired their offensive coordinator and their offensive line coach. Is it going to make them any better? I don't know, but I think it will certainly give them a little bit of a sense of urgency. I'll take the Lions because the Chiefs are without their best player, and that's their running back, Jamaal Charles.
Yeah, he's done for the year with the knee injury. That's at 9:30 kickoff on Fox. You can watch that. In the division, the Titans at the Texans.
Boy, that's a barn burner.
Yeah, great.
I mean, I'm talking
must
about
see
from,
TV.
I mean, for us, I mean, we have an interest in that game.
Certainly.
Because it's a division game. But I think most of the fans in the NFL look at that game as not much to look at.
No.
I hope that Marcus Mariota plays in the game, just because he gives them the best chance to win, and Ken Wisenhunt's an old teammate of mine, and I always root for him. I'll take Tennessee.
All right. And, of course, Houston without Mallett now. They cut him.
Yeah, who cares?
After the
he's a knucklehead. Misses the team flight for the game in Miami.
But the story this week was that O'Brien wanted to cut him right away, and there was a little waiting period because Rick Smith, or the GM.
That's Rick Smith. Yeah, the general manager.
Decided to hold off. It was a... The story was maybe they weren't on the same page, that they've been trying to cover that up this week. So we'll see.
They got it figured out, and he's cut.
He gone. Arizona-Cleveland in Cleveland this week.
Arizona's a really good football team now. Carson Palmer's playing good, solid football. I think that is arguably the best coach in the National Football League, in Bruce Arians. He's doing a tremendous job. Did you see the job that Dwight Freeney was able to do this past week? He was able to give them some pass rush.
Yep.
They have been able to sign guys that were older and are still effective, and Dwight Freeney will give them a little bit of a boost in pass rush. They got a really good team.
The St. Louis Rams, Todd Gurley is rolling. They're hosting the 49ers this week.
He's been impressive. That's the one guy that I haven't seen yet, you know, as far as watched film of him. And that's something that I look forward to doing next week, is I want to go and watch a little bit of film of him. Much like this week, I already watched some film of the Jets, just because their defense is just so impressive to watch. But the job that he's doing, I know he's playing without the knee brace now, which is a big step for a guy coming back from an ACL. He's one heck of a football player now. And he's with the perfect head coach to be a good running back.
That's right. Does look like the Titans of old.
That's right.
The Bears are actually favored at home against the Minnesota Vikings. Who you got?
I'm taking the Vikings. I mean, I'm not believing the Bears stuff. I think Mike Zimmer's doing a great job in Minnesota with what he's been given to work with. I like him. I think he's a solid guy offensively. They're not impressive. Adrian Peterson has been good but not great. The passing game has not been great. And if you looked at the numbers – of their quarterback?
No, I have not.
That's something I would like to see, the numbers of Teddy Bridgewater. Because
okay.
You remember there was a debate, you know, Blake Bortles, Teddy Bridgewater. And then after last year, Teddy Bridgewater, you know, had some nice numbers. And where is it at now?
Yeah.
I think Dave Caldwell is smiling somewhere.
Two future opponents for the Jags this year, the Chargers at the Ravens. Of course, the Jags play the Ravens 2 weeks after the bye, and then the Chargers Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah, and the Ravens, they're just not a tough team anymore. They're not. I mean, they don't have any toughness about. They don't have any toughness on defense. They don't have any toughness on offense. Their offensive coordinator, Mark Trestman, will never be. You will never look at one of his offenses and say that they're a tough team. I'm not buying it.
That's a weird situation in Baltimore.
That was, you know, and I know that John Harbaugh has had to go through a lot of offensive coordinators. You know, and it's tough. I mean, you're replacing guys that are getting elevated to become head coaches. Not easy to do. But the decision to hire Mark Trestman was not the decision to make.
The Bengals on the road in the division against the Pittsburgh Steelers at Heinz Field.
Big question there is, will Ben Roethlisberger play?
Sounds like he might.
Head coach is saying that they have all this confidence in him and he's going to be able to play. And Ben said, you know, see how it reacts. Will it swell, et cetera. Haven't heard the reports after practice today.
You better hurry and get back.
Yeah, but they need Ben Roethlisberger. But Cincinnati is playing very well, both defensively and offensively. I think they can got more room for improvement on defense, but they have weapons on offense all across the board.
This in the NFC South, Tampa Bay visiting the Atlanta Falcons.
I'm taking Tampa Bay in this game.
Are you really?
Yeah, I think Atlanta is a little overhyped.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why?
I think they're overhyped because I think that, first of all, I think Tampa's got a pretty solid defense. And I think they're going to have the ability to neutralize Matt Ryan. Atlanta's defense is not that good. I think their numbers are a little overinflated. And Lovie Smith is telling the fans to stick with him. I think he's going to get a little reward this week and a win.
The Falcons are favored by a touchdown in that game, by the way, if you're into that. The Giants at the Superdome against the Saints.
I don't see the Saints being able to be consistent because they haven't been. The Giants do have JPP back in the fold.
Yes, they do.
Jason Pierre-Paul is back with the team.
Whether
he's
not
expected
to play.
They're still a couple weeks out, they're saying. But I think the Giants can handle the New Orleans Saints.
The Jaguars' next opponent, the Jets, are going across country to Oakland.
Yeah, and Oakland's been surprisingly pretty solid. You know, I mean, Del Rio's done a pretty good job. Yep. But the Jets' defense, I'm telling you, that's
a good football
that,
team.
When I watch them on defense, they've got the guys up front. They can roll them in and out. They don't drop off when they go from wave one to wave two. The secondary is the most talented that there is in the National Football League. Darrell Revis is still the best cornerback in the National Football League. Buster Skrine is also a high-quality cornerback. He was a guy that I was hoping the Jaguars would be able to get here, but he doesn't have the height, weight kind of measurables that, you know, Gus Bradley defense is kind of built for. But they are fun to watch now.
Yeah, and they had
First of all, Todd Bowles has done a great job. A great job. With all that crap that happened in preseason with the New York Jets, and he just kind of stayed even and steady, and I think he kind of kept a lid on everything and never overreacted. He's going to be up there for Coach of the Year candidate.
Yeah, and they had the Patriots on the ropes last week for sure. Seattle at Dallas.
Seattle. I mean, Seattle's going to take them. Dallas is still without quarterback. If Des Bryant plays, it doesn't matter. You don't have Tony Romo. If you're going to be playing a running back who hasn't been your starter in McFadden, I'm taking Seattle.
Green Bay on the road Sunday night against the Denver Broncos. Great game.
Yeah, and that's going to be a really good game to watch. And not so much that it's Peyton Manning, because Peyton Manning's playing so poorly, but just because – seeing how good that Denver defense can be against Aaron Rodgers. To me, that's the attraction.
Monday night, Indy at Carolina. The Panthers might blow their doors off.
Yeah, they might. They might. You know, in Indianapolis, and Andrew Luck hasn't given you much reason for hope. That is an organization that is dysfunctional. It starts at the top with the owner.
Yep.
And they will continue to have issues until he gets it all figured out.
Tonight, Thursday night football, the Dolphins are in Foxborough to face the Patriots.
Yeah, I know the Dolphins are feeling really good about themselves, but after tonight they won't.
There you have it. Well done, Jeff. We'll talk to you next week when it's back for real.
Looking forward to it.
That'll do it for a bi-week edition of Jaguars Thursday. For Jeff Lagerman, Joe Fortunato, and everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. We'll see you next week. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.